This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Good morning, DCR.
Got the number one pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
Cut him every trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? Sports Center Reed, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Walk to the left of Vasilevsky. Turnover in front. Beauvillier shoots. He scores! There will be a Game 7 Friday night in Tampa. Islanders win it 3-2. A minute into sudden death. Wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey.
And welcome aboard.
You're listening to DCR. We're live every weekday morning, 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. right here on 98.7 ESPN New York. Give us a call at 1-800-919-3776. Today, of all days, make sure you ask Dave how he's doing. I'm Rick DiPietro. We got Chris Canty. Won one Super Bowl. Probably should have been two.
Romo buys some time. Keeps the play alive. And the pass dropped by Creighton. Had it in his hands. Had first down yardage and dropped it.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. And with hockey analysis like this,
you were there with many men with facial hair.
There's no wonder why this guy has his hockey show. That's Dave Rothenberg. We got a victory Thursday. Islanders force a Game 7. Yankees bail out Chapman and their manager in the ninth. Welcome back, Michael Conforto. Looks like Team Rick may have officially become the Brooklyn Nets. And as always, on the Thursday at 6:45, we got an observations and did it happen in Florida. But before we get to all that, let me hand off the show to our fearless driver.
I'm an excellent driver.
That is David, Islanders superfan, Rothenberg.
Very, very well done. I'm glad you turned your microphone on there. We missed like the first 30 seconds of your open.
What
good
you
job by you.
No,
did you oversleep?
I didn't say anything.
Again?
I was waiting. Santy was supposed to play the Undertaker music to start the open.
Yeah.
Well, okay. You looked like you were miming the first 30 seconds of your Thursday open.
Yeah.
It's kind of what
Marcel Marceau does the open at DCR at 98.7 ESPN.
No. What did you say? Just the silence. I was waiting.
No. There was you were talking.
No.
And
you
there
were
was
talking.
Silence. Nothing was happening.
What did you hear to start it?
Like Beauvillier.
Yeah. He shoots. He scores. You didn't hear my king.
No.
No.
Well, just the Beauvillier, he shoots, he scores. Was that the actual open?
And the New York Islanders win!
Yeah, you said if the Islanders win, and you wanted me to do the
I did. I loved
Chris
it.
King call.
I don't know. To me, it felt like there was maybe 15 to 20 seconds of you talking without your microphone being on. But I guess I could be wrong.
That's a possibility. The microphone, I can't control the microphone on or off.
That was a pretty nice open.
I mean, do we want to restart it? You want to re-jump this thing?
No, we don't want to restart it. I think we got the point.
And by the way,
it's karma from the universe, really, why you had technical difficulties for the first 20 seconds.
You took shots, like small little baby shots at me, like jabs. You took Mike Tyson overhand hooks to Chris. What are you doing to poor Chris Canty here?
Listen, he said he wanted the smoke.
Wow.
He's posting pictures of me with dolphins. He knows how I feel about dolphins.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I know exactly how you feel, Rico. But just so you know, yesterday is just a warm-up. We're just getting started. We haven't even gotten to the tip of the iceberg yet.
All right. Now, listen, you guys want to continue this, that's fine. I mean, Team Rick has never been stronger. Never. I got the support of the
people. I don't like that. I don't like you getting another Bronx guy to go against me. But, I mean, if that's the shot that the Kaster's chosen, then I guess he's got to get involved, too. He's got to get roped in, too.
Wow. So Kay went after you as well, Chris? I've never seen that before.
Well, he didn't do anything. He just said that he sides with Rick in our little dispute, our DCR civil war. And I'm like, okay, that's fine.
He
can support Rick. But I don't think the Kaster wants to get involved with start taking shots and start changing his avatar, because that could get dangerous.
I'll tell you what, if you need, I want some of that smoke on your side. I'm right there with you if you want.
Well, after today, we'll see about it. I mean, after what I do to Rick DiPietro again today, we'll see if Kay really wants to get involved, really wants to have his back. We'll find out.
I like threatening Canty.
I'm not sure if you guys want any of this. I mean, I got a scud just waiting.
I hear what you're saying. I had something locked and loaded this morning. Had that Islanders game had a different result, I'm telling you, heart would have been broken. I'm telling you. I'm eventually going to have a chance to do it anyway because they're going to lose in Game 7.
Oh,
but
you guys are the worst.
But it would have been nice to be able to do it today with your Thursday Open because I would have dropped it as you were doing your Thursday Open.
The Thursday Open would have been so good, too. Like, despondent, Rick. Like, good morning. 98.7 ESPN.
Now, why is that good? That's not good. That's good for you, too, because you guys have all teamed up.
Wakey. Couple eggs and some bacon.
No, it would be what you deserve, though, Rico. Like, you're doing all of this stuff to us. You got me involved. I had nothing to do with you and Dave's little back and forth. It would have been what you deserve if the Islanders would have got their hearts broke last night after they fight back to get it to overtime. It would have been perfect. It would have been exactly what you deserved.
Yeah, that was touch and go for a minute. You get down two. I mean, that would, listen.
I'm sure you were panicked down 2-0. You got to give this team a lot of credit. I mean, outside of the fan base, you know, littering the ice with beer, which was really an embarrassment.
That was a joke. Yeah, that was a joke. I mean, your team is celebrating. You know what I mean? Like, you just...
But what are you doing? Why would your mode of celebration be to throw beer cans at your players?
Well, I guess it's because they can't. I mean, you can't rip your clothes off. I mean, I guess that would be like the equivalent. Like, you're so amped up, you want to get crazy.
Well, why not? Rip off some clothing.
No, I don't know if that's what you... I mean, you don't want to get... You know,
I don't want beer cans thrown at my players either.
No, and you saw how pissed off Clutterbuck was. No, I mean, it's not what you want. God forbid. I mean, you're sitting there celebrating one of the biggest goals in I don't know how many years, and you take a tall boy off the face. I mean, that's not what you want. But I'll tell you what. I mean, what a way. If that ends up being the last game of the Collie, you know, fingers crossed it's not. We'll see what happens in Game 7. I mean, that's... What a way to shut that building down.
Yeah, that was something. I mean, down 2-0. You didn't think that they had much of a chance to come back. They get the goal in the second, the goal in the third, the goal right away in overtime. And listen, hardly am I rooting for the Islanders to win anything here. But thank God, if they were going to win, it happened a minute into overtime. Thank God. The last thing I could have had last night is like triple overtime, ending at 1 o'clock in the morning and then waking up at 3:45. The last thing in the world I could have afforded to have happened.
Yeah, I don't think anyone wanted that. I mean, it was perfect. It was absolutely perfect. I mean, Eberle made it 2-1, which was huge going into the third. I mean, it got feisty there at the end. I thought Mayfield
was... That was some goal by Mayfield, huh? My God.
Wow, but he was good the entire game. I mean, I don't know what was better. Obviously, you know, the game tying goal is obviously...
But the dirty
the
hit was good
moment.
Too, right, for you guys?
Well, no. I mean, him knocking Kucherov out of the game.
With that dirty little hit.
Oh, it was a little... Yeah, a nice little cross check. It's not dirty if you don't get called for a penalty. And then he does the same thing to Stamkos at the end of the second period. His nose is bleeding. And then Barzal just said, you know what, enough is enough. I'm going to take over this third period, which he did. And, I mean, that was – you can't make that play in overtime. Like, if you're Coleman, you can't do it.
What are you trying to do? I think Tampa might have lost on purpose to set up, like, an exciting Game 7.
No, you don't want to mess around with the Game 7, especially – I mean, neither team that has scored first in the series.
What is he doing? What kind of pass is that?
In theory, like it's a good outlet option, but in that situation, just keep it up the boards. Like let's not mess around. And Bovilli made a great play.
The last thing you want to do is it
like that Mayfield goal? I mean,
you never throw the puck in front of your own net.
Not like that. No, not in that situation. Like know where you're at in a game. And then I mean Mayfield, you probably give him 100 pucks when that same shot. I don't know if he scores like that. Like I can't even begin to tell you how perfect that shot was. Like, if they Perfect. Showed you, like, so that Suns pass, that pass to Ayton to win that game.
Right.
Like, when you see it regular, like, oh, that was a great pass. But then when you see the pass from behind where Crowder is and how he actually throws it, like, it goes over the edge of the backboard.
Yeah.
You appreciate it.
Yeah.
Like, had you seen that, like, if there was a camera ice level where that puck was and you saw what he was shooting at. And for some reason, Vasilevskiy had his glove turned in, like towards his face, which kind of opened up that like sliver of area where you could hit the post and put it in. Like that was, it was a perfect shot. Like I don't know how he did it, but he did it.
That was a goal scorer shot too.
That's not a defenseman shot. No. That's not. No. I mean, that's not his game. So I mean, that's just stepping up in the moment.
Yeah,
but the Islanders were all over
in
the third period.
What'd you say?
The Islanders were all over them in the third period, and it's a completely different feel of the series
great.
Now.
I think what happens
if there's no Kucherov? What happens now?
I don't know. You can't love the chances of him playing in Game 7, though.
Well, we have to see what's wrong with him, right? Like, I don't know. I mean, if it looks like it was his side, I don't know if it's a rib, if it's a hip pointer. But, I mean, that power play isn't nearly as It's a good power play, but it's not nearly as lethal without him on it. And now you force, you know, your second line, like all of a sudden now, you know, you take Cirelli, who was awesome with that second line in game five, and you got to move him up to the top line. So it just, I mean, it screws up what you're trying to do depth-wise with the lines, but.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good. But we get the all-exciting game seven, first one for either team in the 2021 NHL postseason. 1-800-919-3776. Where do you think, we'll hear from the head coach in a moment, where do you think this ranks for Barry Trotz's great moments in his career?
Barry Trotz's great moments in his career?
Yeah, can't be one, right?
Nah, he won a Stanley Cup. I mean, he's got to be proud as hell the way his team responded to getting blown out 8-0. And then going down, too. I mean, that's...
Tampa had scored 11, what was it,
12. 11? 12.
12 consecutive goals. That doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't happen at all. I mean, they scored the last two, and they scored eight, and then they scored the first two.
Right. You would figure if a team scores 12 consecutive goals that they're going to win the series in a sweeper in five games, right? If you can ever say we scored 12 straight goals in a series, you're hammering the opponent in the series.
Hammering the opponent. And not to mention the fact that, I mean, going into that game, Tampa was 11-1 when they scored first. And they hadn't lost. Like, neither team had lost when they scored first in the series until last night.
Mm.
So, I mean, that's what it's going to take against this team. Because, I mean, they've just been, over the last 2 years, they've been that good. But, like I said, I mean, with no Kucherov, that changes things a lot. Like, that would have been like the Islanders, that would have been like the equivalent of having Barzal suspended for yesterday's game.
Yeah.
And after watching what Barzal did yesterday.
Oh, yeah, I mean, there's no way they win that game if Barzal's out.
No, he was a difference maker. He was a difference maker. All right, so we mentioned where does this rank for Barry Trotz. Let's find out. Where does this rank for you all time, Coach?
Well, I've had a few moments. I've been at this a long time. It's one of the – it'll be up there with one of the best because of the situation. Number one, the group that is playing – right now, I love this group, the character of this group. I would say this building and what it's meant to a number of players, but probably more than anything, our fans. You know, these are great moments. I mean, coming off the ice and there's, you know, everybody's hugging each other. There's beer cans flying all over. It's quite a sight. And it was a moment that you'll remember. You know, these are big moments and great memories to have. But we've got to get another one.
It was phenomenal. It's a great win. Can we not romanticize, please, beer cans being thrown at the players on the ice? There's nothing cute and adorable about that.
I don't think it was a great look. I mean, I do agree with the because I've experienced that. Like you've experienced that, Chris. You've experienced that when you go to these games, like in big moments like that. I mean, and your team wins or there's a, you know, big goal or a big run scored or whatever it is. Like, you just find yourself high-fiving, hugging people you never even met in your entire life.
Which is awesome.
The best. Which is the best. And that place, I can guarantee, dude, because being in that building for playoff games, nothing is as important as a, you know, elimination game in the semifinals. But that building, like, you can legitimately feel it shaking. So I can only imagine, like, I mean, how, like he mentioned, like, the... You got to take the situation into account too, right? It's like the team that knocked you out last year. Oh, by the way, it was game six in overtime that you lost last year.
Could have been the same exact scenario, correct?
Exactly. And it's, you know, we're facing elimination. This is the last game potentially in this building that's been an iconic building with, you know, the 80 Stanley Cup teams and everything else. So this could be it. The crowd knows it. They know it. And then to, you know, to win in overtime the way that they did. I mean, that's... I don't know how it gets any better unless that's a, you know, obviously
well, you
a
win,
game
you
seven.
Win game seven.
Yeah,
that's
you're
how
closing
it
out.
That it gets. I mean, if you don't win game seven, is it Kevin Durant in game five? Like it's amazing. You remember it forever. But you have an opportunity to go to the Stanley Cup Finals first time in almost 40 years on Friday night.
Yeah, I mean it's very similar. Yeah, I mean it's not one individual performance. It's just a huge win. But it'd be. In the grand scheme of things, you look at it as a, you know, it was a good win, but it was a disappointment because we lost the series. But as far as, you know, your last memory of the last game at the Coliseum, like that, I mean, that you remember that fondly because it was a humongous win.
It was the biggest win in a long time. Absolutely. Now, Barry Melrose goes one further on SportsCenter last night, says it's going to be hard for Tampa to regain some of that momentum they lost in Game 6.
It's going to be very tough for the Tampa Bay Lightning right now. They had everything going their way. They had a great first period. They were winning 2-0. They killed off a long 5-on-3. Fantastic job. I thought that was the turning point of the game. And then the Islanders just chip away. They win the battles. They go to the front of the net. Two guys you don't hear of that much. Bevilier hasn't had a great playoff, so our great series here up to long. And Mayfield never scores a goal like that. So I'll tell you, the Islanders did what they had to do. Now we're going to find out a lot about Tampa Bay Lightning. We found a lot about them last year. They won a lot of games that people didn't think they could, but I'll tell you, without Kucherov in the lineup, that's hard.
I mean, it's all lining up for the Islanders in Game 7 right now. All lining up.
Yeah, I mean, you could say that, but I mean, you could have said the same thing going into Game 6. You know, how are the Islanders going to bounce back after getting blown out? And then they go down 2, and somehow, some way, they find a way to tie it up and win it in overtime.
You think we're going to hear from the Islanders fan today? Is that your expectation?
They better
fall and be all over us and very annoying?
Dave, this is the biggest win that, I mean, obviously I wasn't around for those Stanley Cup teams.
This is the biggest win since the early 80s.
Yeah, I mean, that's really where we're at. And that Kucherov, I mean, that completely changes everything if he can't play in Game 7.
So if he is able to continue through the game last night, does Tampa win that game?
If he can play through that game,
yep.
And
if he doesn't get hurt, does Tampa win that game?
Well, I mean, here's the thing, though. I mean, if you give them, you know, that power play opportunity in the third period with Kucherov on the power play, they have a much better chance, yeah. That's how good he is. I mean, you've seen what he's done this postseason.
Yeah, he really is. He's phenomenal. Does he have 27 points this postseason?
He's leading the league. I mean,
yeah,
he's
a difference maker.
It's insane what he's doing.
Tremendously.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. This is DCR.
Chris has thrown a major shot on the Twitter. Rick, I don't know how you respond from this one.
It's well played. I understand. Listen, he's got to do what he has to do.
I've done what I came to done.
His first attempt was weak. That's fine. I mean, he's progressing in the right direction. I like
it. What do you mean the first attempt was weak? That was just a warm-up.
You keep it up, Rothenberg. You're next.
You're next!
Canty was never like this till all of a sudden you guys started conspiring against me. And that's
fine.
You're
a bad guy.
Now I punish the puppet master, which is you. And at some point, there will be retaliation.
This is DCR.
It's like ransom notes is what I'm doing.
You're cutting stuff out of magazines and newspapers? Oh, my God.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, let's go. Time now for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. I see what you've done now. And I'm going to give some play-by-play of the newest of what you've done. All right, it's a photo of Diana Rossini with me. I imagine this would be lurking in the background. Is that appropriate?
Online lurking. There's nothing wrong with it.
That's fair. Yeah, that's a fair assessment of it.
All right, so you go with that. And
Diana, I have been lurking.
Have you seen the new one I've thrown out there now?
Yeah, it's so weak.
It's not weak. It's
that's
phenomenal.
So weak.
It's a baby-faced Rick DiPietro with a Lightning shirt, a Pepsi in his hand, and a photo of me always watching him on the shoulder. Always watching him. You know
like
what the
it,
problem
Dave.
Is with you?
I like it.
There's
like
no
it,
way
Dave.
You did that by yourself. There's
of course
no chance
not.
You did that by yourself.
No, I haven't done anything by myself. No, I have assistants. I have my minions. I have people that work for me that get this to me, and then I put it out on social media.
I think it would help if you didn't refer to them as minions. So.
I think you're probably right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
yeah, keep, listen, keep,
that
keep disparaging your people. That's keep doing it.
I got great people.
Just makes it makes Team Rick stronger and stronger as all it does.
Team Rick is an abomination.
Disgusting.
There's actually a Kelly Clarkson song about that. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
I think she sings it just like that, too.
I probably cried to that one. That might have been one of the ones I cried to, actually. I get real emotional with Kelly Clarkson.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
If anybody would like to send us some profile pics that make fun of Rick DiPietro, you can certainly do that. At Rothenberg ESPN.
And you are so lazy.
How am
so
I lazy?
Lazy?
It's smart. If I can get something done well and not do it myself, that's the definition.
You know who you are. You're the guy in the movies, like in Braveheart and those movies, where you got Mel Gibson as Braveheart. He's out there. He's in the front line.
Yeah.
He's fighting with his guys. And right. Then there's you who just like sends a charge, and they're all fighting, getting stabbed and everything else, and you're just sitting there on your horse in the back, like just watching.
I call that smart.
Yeah. Isn't that brilliant?
Oh, it looks like it's time
if
to retreat.
You want to go be on the front lines, by all means.
Yeah, you go give your life up. I'm not going to give my life up for this.
We all have different lanes, don't we, Dave?
By the way, this is even you have to admit the one I sent out is good. Like, I can give you credit for the Diana Rossini one. Very well done. And this one with you with a little Pepsi in your hand. This is terrific.
Yeah, but you lose points because you didn't even do it yourself. At least I'm doing my own work.
Oh, that's amazing. I think I should gain points.
Yeah, I think Dave is working smarter, not harder.
That's right.
Yeah.
First of all, it would be a Diet Pepsi, which is delicious. Second of all, you can't. I got no neck. I look like my head is just like attached to the shirt.
I think that's the point. Yeah, it's not supposed exactly. to be
like,
flattering.
I clearly don't skip trap day. Is what I don't do. I look like a juggernaut in that picture.
Oh my God! Stop taking these so literally, Mike. Jeez,
gross face. You got that gross face on my sleeve. God forbid that ever happened. Ugh.
I'm
wake up and see you every day.
Time. I might do my show Saturday morning from your house if the Islanders lose on Friday night.
No, there's no chance. You don't. Every time you're on Long Island, I don't even get a text message.
No, I'll come over and do it right.
No, that's
there.
Fine. You come do the show. You come
I'll
do the show
Cass
here.
Send an email. Say, listen, I need access to the house. Can I do the show from there? She'll say, of course, we'd love to see you.
Yeah, Dave, but I don't know that you could do the show from there. They don't even have reliable internet.
That's true. Very unreliable internet. And you know what? Their alarm clock system is not good.
Not at all.
Because he overslept yesterday, and then he didn't turn his microphone on today. So you're right.
Yeah,
it's like the what's the people, the Adams family house.
Yeah, yeah. Well, those people. Like, yeah, those ones. Yeah,
it's like the Adams family. Let's go to Tony in Rockaway. Morning, Tony. You're on 98.7. Hi, Tony. Tony, this is your people. Great, great job, Tony. Now we'll go to my people, Steve in Israel. Steve, all the way on the other side of the world, in the Jewish state of Israel.
Right.
Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you
Shabbat
doing
Shalom.
Today?
How are you?
Shabbat Shalom is not going to be till tomorrow.
I know.
Thank you. I know. Listen, Dave, your disrespect for Islander fans is really getting to me today. You know, I grew up in the 1980s. I was at NASA Coliseum with my home away from home through four Stanley Cups. All those great parades down Hempstead Turnpike. We have a great fan base, Dave.
Steve, let me ask you a question, Steve. I mean, because you're on Team Rick as opposed to the disgusting Team Rothenberg. We had a caller that called in.
Are you going to get me involved in this fight that you guys are having now?
No, I want to ask you a question. We had a caller, a Big Islander fan, say that Anthony Beauvillier reminds him of Bobby Nystrom. Would you agree or disagree with that?
No, I do not agree with that. I mean, he kind of has more John Tinelli kind of tendencies.
Oh, no,
I don't think,
Tinelli was a bruising force.
No. He goes into the corner. No. I'm saying that Tinelli was the best corner guy I've ever seen in my life. You know, these guys are, obviously this is not the 1980s team, but these guys are, they work hard. They get to the corner. They forecheck well. This is a great team to watch. You know, this is the best team I've watched since the 1993 team when they beat Pittsburgh on that David Volek goal. I mean, that was beautiful.
It's a well put together team.
But
is what
I can't
it is.
Say
it's a good.
It's
I mean, you hit it on the head.
Talented,
it's a
it's
good
not a
team.
Talent, an overly talented team. Think about
no,
what
not.
Matt Barzell would have. Matt Barzell needs a real good line mate. I mean, he'd be even better than he is if he actually had some winger that could actually really put the puck in the net. You know,
he needs a natural goal scorer. Is what
Thank you for the call, Steve. I will tell you this. We talk about all the time teams that get the most out of what they have. I mean, this is not a great team. Barry Trotz deserves a ton of credit for what he's done with this club.
No, it's a well-put-together team is what it is. But, I mean, just think about it.
But they're not oozing with talent. Like,
no,
Tampa
they're not oozing
with
talent.
No,
but, I mean, could you – like, and I know there's times that Barzell gets frustrated because you have to play a certain style. Right, and that's not. I mean, that doesn't always accentuate what Matt Barzell does really well. I mean, can you have though? I mean, the way that they want to play. Now, Barry Trotz made it work in Washington. I mean, you got Ovechkin. There's plenty of stars in that team. But the way Lou Lamoriello builds teams is like, I mean, can you have a bunch of stars that you're trying to ask to play the certain this style of hockey? Yeah, I don't know. Right. I mean, those guys want to go play. They want to play. You know, offensive brand of hockey, take chances, and that's not how the Islander team plays. They're just really well put together, is what they are.
Yeah. Brilliantly put together. Let's go to Eddie in Brooklyn. Good morning, Eddie.
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, Dave. How you doing this morning?
We're doing well. Listen, Rick is like $1 million this morning.
Rick is an Islander fan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yeah, you're asking.
Yeah,
if
don't.
Rick is
Dave
fan?
Has
yes,
no
Rick
energy
to act as an Islander.
I am an Islander fan. Yes, Eddie.
I'm pulling for the Islanders too. But at the same time, I'm like a New Yorker. I don't go against my New York team when they like playing another state. Now when they're playing each other, that's a different story. So I would like for the Islanders to win, and I'm taking the Islanders to win tomorrow, 3-1.
Ooh, 3-1, game 7. Hear that, Dave? That's a Ranger fan. Islanders, game 7.
Wait, Eddie, are you a Rangers fan?
I like the Rangers. I root for the Rangers. Like, if they're not playing, I'm more of an Islanders fan.
All right, so, Eddie, if the Islanders play the Rangers, you're rooting for who?
I'm going to root for the Rangers. But right now, I'm going to move for the Islanders.
Yes, Eddie.
That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I don't think you can do that.
I don't think Eddie's Eddie, you're not a true, passionate, diehard Rangers fan. There's no way. I think Eddie just enjoys the game of hockey.
Yeah, he's just like you with hockey. Same as you. Same kind of fan as you are.
Let's stop it. How disrespectful are you?
How can you root for your rival? Fandom? How can you root for your rival to win a championship?
Because he wasn't a legitimate Islanders fan, Rangers fan. He was just like, he would like to see the Rangers win. It doesn't keep him up at night. It doesn't bother him. How dare you? I almost got into a fist fight with Mike Lupica last time the Rangers were in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Why would you ever try to fight Mike Lupica?
Well, I think I could take him, firstly.
I knew it. I knew you were going to say that.
And secondly, I thought he was obnoxious to me, and I went after him.
Just like the guy at the bar with the TVs, right, Dave?
That's right.
Felt like that was an easy win.
Exactly.
You piqued my interest with this. I could never imagine.
I'm not going to tell you.
No, you have to tell me what.
I don't have to do anything.
I think Canty wants your buddy, your best friend Canty wants to know what happened.
You can tell me off the air.
Yeah, I don't need to tell him on the
you
air.
You too.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Keep it up.
You created this dynamic.
Really
I don't understand what you're complaining about. Chris comes over for dinner tonight with Mel,
and the four of us sit down and break bread. We'll get into all those kind of stories.
Yeah, I hope he enjoys
we can go to dinner at Luger's, can't we, Dave?
No, I mean, we could, but it won't be on Carlin, unfortunately.
Oh, it's not on Carlin?
I needed the Nets to win the whole thing for that to happen. By the way, quickly, how about Atlanta last night? This team is incredible.
How about Trae Young last night?
I don't understand the Milwaukee Bucks. I really don't. Like, I mean, you had a 7-point lead with 4 minutes to go at home in game one, and you lose. How's that? I know we've talked about the flaws of that team, but they don't have a closer. Like, that was the difference in last night's game. Like, Trae Young is the closer for the Atlanta Hawks. Like, he has playmaking ability. He can create shot opportunities for himself and others. And with the Bucks, and especially in their half court, like, it just seems like everything is a slog.
Well, it's Chris Middleton. I mean, that's the claw. I mean, you saw the Nets.
Yeah, and Chris Middleton passed the ball when he was driving baseline to Pat Connaughton, and it's an air ball. Air ball. They don't have that dude, man. They just don't.
No, but I mean, tell you what, Trae Young is turning into that dude.
He is something special, huh?
Yeah, he is.
48 last night?
Yeah, 48.
I mean, he could score. He's almost unstoppable.
And he takes some bad shots, Dave. If he ranged that in a little bit, I mean, I'm telling you, man, that Hawks team is going to be good for a long time. They really are.
As a Knicks fan, don't you feel a little bit better right now? Let's be honest.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. I've been saying that the whole time. Every game Atlanta wins makes you feel a little bit better.
But do you really feel good, though?
I feel better, yes.
Seeing how good the Hawks are and knowing that team is not going anywhere, do you really feel good?
Yeah, I feel better watching them play so well. I do.
Okay, all right.
If they would have gone out and gotten hammered by Philadelphia, I would have felt sick to my stomach. But watching them go out and win these games and win all these games on the road and Trae Young do this, yes, I do. I feel better.
I mean, that's going to be a team that you're going to have to deal with, though, Dave, in the Eastern Conference moving forward. And they're not going anywhere. It's a really young squad. Really young.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, it just highlights, I mean, again, you're watching him play. I mean, it just highlights the fact that, I mean, the Knicks, as good as Julius Randle was, he had an unbelievable season. I mean, that's the point guard position is that important.
And it is.
We don't currently have anyone that's even close to Trae.
No. Well, we have Frank.
Stop that. I've heard he's the French Trae Young.
He's the French version of Trae Young.
He did have two really good games, though, after you talked to him at Lord & Taylor.
This is what I could do. This is what I can do. Doug in Long Island. Good morning, Doug. You're on 98.7.
Hey, guys. How are we doing? I want to talk to the Islanders, but the problem with the Bucks, the coach thinks, the coach is god-awful. If you need a shot at the end of the game, and Middleton couldn't jump out of a boat and hit waters, 0 for 8 on threes, and Holiday's having a game of his life, it's like 5 for 12 for threes, who are you drawing a play up for? You're not going to draw that play up for Middleton, and he missed just like everybody knew he would.
No, I know, but Doug, listen, Doug, Like, but that's, I mean, you're right. Like, I mean, Bud's under a lot of scrutiny. That's been their, like, Middleton's been their closer.
Yeah, yes.
Yep. Like, I mean, teams go to the one guy that
he was the closer in game one against Miami. Nobody was complaining. He was the closer against Brooklyn. Nobody was complaining. So because he didn't close last night, now he's not the guy you should go to?
Well, the issue is he's the guy you have to go to.
He's the guy you have to go to, but that's a bad spot to be in if you're Milwaukee.
I mean, that really is the issue. The guy you should go to is supposed to be one of the best players in the NBA, but that's not really what he's capable of doing.
He
right?
can't shoot.
Yes.
That's
a
problem.
Not great, I mean, he's not great at shooting free throws. So that becomes an issue.
Although he was better last night.
No, he was. I just think in general, like, I mean, it's something that, like, if you're trying to win a championship and you don't trust your best player down the stretch to make free throws, mm-hmm. that's something the other team is going to use against you, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. He's not Ben Simmons bad, but it certainly is not great.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
I know Rick's going to run point and probably complain all the way. It's not fair. So much is on my plate. Right?
Did you just post another picture of me and now in a Dolphins uniform?
Yeah.
Love it.
Love it. It's a good one, right?
That is a good one, yeah.
Yeah. It's now taking on a life of its own. I can't stop. I won't stop.
Relax, all right? All right, Diddy, relax.
Okay? Dan Marino should die of gonorrhea and rot in hell.
I'm in Psychoville and Finkel's the mayor.
Chris, I imagine at some point like 6:43 is going, why do I have to do observations? Why do I have to do DHIF, right? Everything's put on me. It's so unfair. Like, he'll play the victim at some point soon.
Yeah, there's a lot of complaining coming from DiPietro the last couple of weeks. I don't know what's going on. You know, I guess he stole your violin and he's deciding he's going to play it for our listeners. I don't like it. That's unbecoming of him. He should be better than that. But these are the depths that he stooped to, Dave.
We know where Dave would put your clarinet if he stole it.
You see? And case in
I don't know.
Right
I don't
there.
Even know what I'm supposed to do with that, Dave, at this point.
You do nothing with that.
Yeah.
You just ignore him, and we move on. We move on.
Like Kendrick Perkins says, carry the hell on, Dave.
That's
carry
right.
Carry the hell
Let's
on.
Let's just carry right on, and we carry on with the Yankees last night. I mean, they're going to win, then they're not. They're going to win, then they're not. And then you get the walk-off win. It feels like it's way too difficult to beat teams like the Royals. But, Chris, they did get the win, and that was important last night because you can't lose a series to the Royals after winning 5 of 6.
Yeah, it got dicey, Dave. I mean, that thing in the ninth inning, it was unbelievable. I mean, Chapman, the way he melted down, loading the bases, like we were just trying to figure out how would we get out of this. Now, the Royals had a little bit of luck. Ahern had that check swing that went down the third baseline, and that ended up scoring a run. But they were able to make enough plays in the bottom of the inning. I mean, Gary Sanchez has been on an absolute tear. He's ripping the cover off of the ball. And then Luke Voit, since he's gotten back off the IL, I mean, I'm just, you know, extra base hit after extra base hit, comes up big again in that spot, drives in Tyler Wade. Like, I just, it was one of those games that, you know, you were on your on pins and needles as a fan because you're like, we can't let another one get away from us against the Kansas City Royals. But, I mean, they were able to have the bats come alive and make enough plays and have enough timely hits to be able to win the game. And really, that's all that matters now, Dave.
And that's really who this Yankees team has been, though. I mean, recently. I mean, they obviously lost the first game, and that was one of those ones where, you know, they were 29-2 when leading after 7.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they lose that one. But, I mean, this is a team that you want to call it exciting, whatever you want to call it. I mean, edge of your seat. Like, all of a sudden, like, they're the comeback kids. I think this is like 9 of their last 11 games have been comeback wins. And mm-hmm. we won't spend any time, or we will, because I thought it was ridiculous, talking about, you know, how bad Chapman's been. And he was lights out to start the season, has not been good at all. And then in knowing that, Aaron Boone's decision to walk Santana to load the bases.
And I give David Cohen a lot of credit because he was on that. He's like, I don't like this at all. You give him no wiggle room. You know he can be wild. And it almost felt like mentally he was like, oh, God. Right, if I walk him, I'm done. He wasn't close with any of those four pitches on a guy that's never gotten a hit.
No, and that was the rationale behind it was, you know, this guy hasn't, you know, he's in there because, you know, you lost Perez to a foul ball off the face, so this guy's never had a hit. But you said it. I mean, this Chapman hasn't been good, and he's a guy who can lose the strike zone.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, you have to trust him. I mean, he's one of the best closers in baseball to be smart enough with Santana that, I mean, you're not going to necessarily go right after him, but, I mean, you can try to work around him and make him get himself out. Like, at least, you know what I mean? Like, at least have that safety net that, you know, if things don't go well with this at bat, then, you know,
right.
I do have a
you
base.
Have another guy. And it's not like Carlos Santana is Mike Trout.
No, I mean, he's not, but he's one of the guys in that lineup that concerns you.
I get it. And he hit a home run in his prior at bat, but I don't know. I mean,
with you. Don't get me wrong. Don't get it twisted. Like, I don't, like, if it, Chapman is, like, I have enough confidence if I'm Aaron Boone in Chapman to be smart enough in that situation. And have good enough stuff, unless, I mean, you're one of those people that believes that since they took away the sticky stuff, Chapman hasn't been the same guy. But, I mean, depends on what you believe. And I'll tell you what, I ain't checking him. Did you see how mad he was going to the bench?
You gotta check him, though.
I wasn't checking him. Hell no.
You're not rolling up on Chapman?
He is an intimidating guy, huh?
No, I'd be like, hey, you got any sticky stuff? No? Okay, good.
Right. You just ask him.
I believe you, sir.
Yeah, you go. All right. You go throw your glove. I'm all set. Dude's humongous. Wow. But Gary Sanchez, too. I mean, not only the hit. I thought, I mean, defensively, especially with...
Some of those pitches that Chapman was throwing? Yeah. Just staying in front of him? No, he did a great job, man. Gary Sanchez last night, I don't know if I'm believing in this version of him that we've seen the last month or so. I don't know if I think this is who he's going to be long-term. But, I mean, based on everything you're hearing and him working with the hitting coach and trying to, you know, minimize that leg kick a little bit, I guess. I don't know, man. This is what the organization has seen in him. This is the version of him that kept them hanging on for so long. And, I mean, if he continues to do what he's doing right now, I mean, this dude is going to be – I mean, right now, he's the focal point of the offense. There's no other way to look at it. And this is a team that's going to be geared toward being able to win games through their offense. So if he keeps doing what he's doing, I mean, this Yankees team is going to be in a good spot.
Well, he's being rewarded, right? Was he batting seventh or eighth?
He's batting third, yeah.
Right now, he's batting third. So if you're going to get hot like that, we're going to reward you. Now, I would imagine you're not going to play him, though, today, right? So you'll only get one game of Gary Sanchez in this three-game set against the Royals?
Well, yeah, because you can't DH him, right?
Of course not. That's the whole, God forbid, yeah.
Well, that's the whole stand situation. I mean, that's why, I mean, it's financially and, you know, lineup flexibility is a problem if he can't play the outfield, especially when Sanchez is going the way he's going.
Maybe you give Stanton the day off and you DH Sanchez.
No. Why would you do that? You want both of them in the lineup.
Ideally, sure.
I mean, it was Stanton who hit the single. I mean, it was him. I mean, it ended up being Wade, but that's the game-winning run.
Mm-hmm.
It was after the Stanton single. And Wade actually got a pretty good read on that, too. I give him credit. I mean, Voit thought it was gone, but...
Oh, Voit was celebrating the second he hit that ball.
Oh, yeah. The second he hit it. But that, I mean, how big a difference is that, though? I mean,
looks a lot different.
Well, but, I mean, first base has been a black hole for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he really is a difference maker. It looks like he's wearing pajamas, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. He's got the taco meat hanging out. Yeah, he looks like one of those guys that it's on the professional softball teams.
Yes.
That travels city to city.
Yeah. He does.
Win or lose, we booze.
Oh, my gosh.
But they need guys like that, though. They lack guys like that.
If you found out he was going commando, would you be surprised?
No, not at all.
Yeah, no.
No, he reminds me, like, he's that guy in the locker room, like, that you would walk in and he's like, he's lifting weights in a bikini. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
What would make you think of something like that, though, Dave? Why would you even ask that question?
It looks like he's just jerseying on with nothing.
Damage? Just think about the damage that you would do to your junk. In baseball pants, running around with no gitch on.
That'd be a problem.
Oh, my God.
That'd be a problem.
Like, it'd be lights out for that thing.
Why wear pants?
Yeah, no. You got to wear some kind of just jock
naked.
Support.
Because it looks like he's wearing pajamas to me.
I could see him just a jock strap. Like, he could be one of those just jock strap guys.
Yeah, I think he probably is.
Now, we had a coach like that we would catch in the gym all the time, like in his underwear lifting weights. Like
in his underwear?
Yeah, he'd have it'd be like game days, so he would like go sneak up to the gym, like while guys were getting ready.
But how could you take that coach seriously?
Because he was humongous, dude. You had to. You had no choice. Like, he would kill you. But we'd catch him all the time. He'd be up in his underwear in construction boots lifting weights.
This locker room had some stuff going on, huh?
He was an animal. One of my favorite coaches I've ever had of all time. But he had the thing where he just wanted to, like, I guess it was because he didn't want to, like, obviously sweat in his suit. But we were always like, well, why don't you just put on some workout gear? He's like, why would I go to the trouble of doing that? I could just work out in my underwear. All right, listen.
It's an interesting dynamic.
To each their own.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's the Islanders locker room. Two division world champion. Gervonta Tank Davis sets his sights on history in a title in a third weight class against towering champion Mario El Azteca Barrios, two unbeaten champs, superstar Gervonta Davis against Mario Barrios live Saturday, June 26th, 9 p.m. on pay-per-view. Stay tuned. Later in today's show, we'll give away the Showtime pay-per-view access code to one lucky, very, very lucky listener. Kenny in Jersey is concerned for your well-being. Kenny, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, fellas. Good morning. Hey, Canty, look, don't pile on Rick with Dave, because this whole thing that Rick's going through is Dave's fault. This is absolutely Dave's
Kenny,
fault.
Kenny, I'm not piling on. Rick brought me into it. I was on the sidelines minding my business. Then he wants to bring up what happened to UVA a few years back in the NCAA tournament when we embarrassed ourselves.
And that's on the heels of the DeSean Jackson punt return game.
Exactly. So it's not like I'm piling on. He wrote me into it.
But listen, Canty, Dave lives in that space that Rick's in right now. Dave lives in that space every football season. So he should have been able to counsel Rick and recognize that Rick was going through some things that he goes through every year. So instead of jumping on Rick, he should have been there for Rick.
I don't attack Rick like this. When the Giants aren't doing well, or even when the Giants are doing well, which is what he's experienced, I don't attack him like this.
You are the most fanatical fan come football season.
Yeah.
You're semi-ridiculous when it comes to the Giants. And right now, Rick is being ridiculous over the Islanders. So I'm saying you should have stepped in and recognized that and helped the man.
But the Islanders are winning. I haven't seen the Giants win anything in a decade. It's not.
Yeah, but no, I agree with Kenny. You're still a troll, though. I mean, you still poke fun at poor Santiago. I mean, you laugh in Gunling's face when the Eagles lose. I mean, you're a bad guy. I don't know who you're kidding.
I'm not a bad guy. I see opportunities and I jump at them.
And in all honesty, when I released that one with Dave and DeSean Jackson, I didn't even realize Riz Canty was going to be on the show when I released it. I figured he'd be on Get Up or something. So
oh, my gosh.
Yes. See, another shot.
That's yes.
Another
oh, shot. My God.
See, just when Kenny calls to try to get me to have your back, Rico, you go and do something like that.
He can't stop. That's
no,
the problem.
He's not going to stop. He's not going to stop. That's why we're so dug in our position, Dave. And we have to be.
We have absolutely. Shot you know what? He's like a wild horse. That's what he's like.
You know what you got to do? You got to break the wild horse, Dave.
No, you can't break this horse.
We
got to
break him.
I'm a Mustang.
We got to break him, Dave.
Tomorrow night, he'll be broken.
I'm like Chris. Secretariat.
Tomorrow night, it all comes crumbling back
to
reality.
I'm busy in the barn studding.
I can't wait
you
to see walk on the Islanders' grave.
I got this
can't
guy
wait.
Playing. This guy's probably at home playing the clarinet. Hey, Mel, watch what I can do.
I like your verbal clarinet, by the way. I mean, it's more ammunition. Can't
you start
more
this.
Ammunition.
I'll finish it.
Yep, that's what it is. More ammunition, Dave. Just got to keep loading up.
You better hope to God, DiPietro, that the Islanders win the cup. Because if they don't, I mean, we might just take call after call of the disaster that is Game 7.
Now, how's your team doing? How's the Rangers doing, all right?
You know what? Our future is beautiful.
Oh, yeah, beautiful.
Beautiful future.
Yeah, stop yourself, please. We're about the present, and that's called Game 7 semifinal. I may fly down to Tampa to go watch it. Yeah,
please, you don't go to the How's game that? 8 minutes from your house. You're going to start going to a game down in Tampa?
It's a Friday night.
You know, Alan Hahn was there. That's a guy that wakes up early to do his show. He's there. Damian Woody travels from far and wide to come and watch that game with his beloved Islanders.
Come
you?
On. Stop.
Please.
Yeah, Alan wakes up in the morning and does reads for 4 hours. I don't want to hear it.
Wow. Take shots at Hahn, too,
he's taking
huh?
shots at everybody.
There's no one safe. No, that's not true. I shouldn't say that. There's one person safe.
Oh, the Kaster.
Yeah. That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
Oh, he's Team Rick. Why am I going to attack someone that's on my own team?
You don't think Hahn is Team Rick?
No, I don't know with him. I mean, he's not
yeah.
even... he's not even Team ESPN New York now. He's all national and bougie, doing First Take and everything else. He's changed, too. Wearing blue shirts every single day. I see what he's doing.
Take shots at everyone.
Accentuate his eyes.
You are the worst of the worst.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Rick, I was at the point with the Mets where I was like, they're going to lose 3 of 4. And, you know, that lead is going to start to dwindle. And I was really pleased with that performance last night. That was a really good effort, good performance. Conforto came back, couple of big hits. Pitching, Oswalt, great job. McGill, really good job. That was a good win for the Mets last night.
Here's the thing, though, too, and I agree with you 100%. How about the kid makes his first major league start and pitched? I mean, listen,
he was good.
He's good. Yeah,
he was good. He was really good. Like, I was happy, right? Kid, it's his moment. And I get it, sticky stuff and everything else. Standing ovation, and he gets frisked down on his way to the
dugout. That's what baseball is now.
Come on, man. I mean, there's got to be a better way than that. There has to be.
I think you were onto something yesterday. Why can't you wait until they get into the dugout to do that? Like, you don't have to do that on Front Street.
Man, you got guys making a mockery of it, dropping their pants and everything else. It's whatever. I mean, if it helps, you know, offensively, I guess. I mean, in baseball, it's more fun to watch and there's more action, whatever. It doesn't affect us. I mean, we're not the ones getting frisked. Although, I will say, have you ever traveled with the Comrex? Have you ever traveled with the Comrex?
I have.
No.
I have.
I dare you to travel with the Comrex and see if you don't get stopped.
What do they think? You have a nuclear weapon on you?
Without fail, every single time. Every single time, you get the extra. They get the swab out. We got to call you to the side.
You know what's interesting, Rico? Never happened to me with the Comrex.
You've never gotten
stopped with the Comrex. I have gotten stopped with the CPAP, but not the Comrex.
Yeah, every single time.
Yeah.
Every single time I get stopped with that thing. I almost don't even want to, like, I honestly don't even want to take it anymore. I'm like, oh, God, every single time.
You should send it ahead. Have it just waiting for you wherever you wind up.
See, that's not a bad idea. Well, you can check. I'm afraid to check it. I think you can check it, actually, but I'm afraid.
I'm sure you can.
I'm going to be the guy that breaks it, which probably wouldn't be a bad thing either, because then I just
you tap out. Here is Tyler McGill. How would you sum up your first ever start in the majors?
A lot of emotions. It was exciting. It was fun. It was competitive. Had a blast while I was out there. Couldn't ask for any more.
He was excellent yesterday. Really did the job for the Mets. Here he is, more McGill, first start. Best part of the first start ever for you?
Just being here, honestly. The atmosphere was cool. It was amazing. I just, you know, you work your whole life for this, and then you get that opportunity to do so, and, you know, it's a dream come true, and now it's just trying to stay here and make an impact.
Was Lugo not available last night?
Only for emergency.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was emergency. Look at this lineup, though. We spent all the time yesterday talking
about... The lineup was much better last night, though.
I mean, it's not even comparable, though. I mean, we had the, you know, eight game span. They scored 13 runs. We're shut out four times. Look at this lineup. How much different it is now with, you know, with McNeil and especially now Conforto. The length now.
Yeah, you got a lot more length.
Completely
different.
Mm-hmm. It's a completely different lineup.
I got to tell you, Guillorme defensively is something special.
He's awesome. In the first, I mean, he can play, I mean, outside of first base, second, he's good. Short, he can play. Third base, I mean, you name it.
And he's gotten a lot better. He's gotten a lot better offensively, too, last couple of years.
And he's a little, I mean, he's a chubby little nugget, too. You don't think he's going to be as athletic as he is.
He really is, isn't he? I know. It wasn't what I was expecting you to say, but you're not wrong about him.
He is. I don't, like, you. If you just looked at him, you'd be like, oh, this guy is, I mean... The super athlete.
He's spry, though, right?
Oh, dude, he's quick. He's
like
agile.
The baseball version of Kevin James. He can move. Right?
Listen, Kevin James would look more like Guillorme in a movie than Sean Payton.
Yes.
Like, I don't know how that was cast. Like, we're going to have Kevin James as Sean Payton.
Yeah.
But Sean Payton and Kevin James
Sean
don't look.
Sean Payton can't feel great about that.
Wouldn't he have to be part of, like, the process okaying it?
The thing is, that's a big star.
Kevin James is a huge star. Yeah,
right.
But I mean, that's not... Listen, I don't know, but is it meant to be like a comedy, though? I mean, is the movie based around... Isn't it supposed to be what happened, like, post-Bountygate?
But I think it has to be a comedy. You got Kevin James in it, right?
Has it been a serious movie?
Maybe it's a serious... Maybe he's moving away from Paul Blart and getting more serious.
I mean, the guy did multiple Paul Blart movies. I think this is going to be a comedy.
You never know, though. Sometimes they want more. I mean, Jim Carrey decided he wanted to start doing...
Now, that's an actor.
Jim Carrey's an actor?
That's a big time actor.
Yeah, but yeah. I don't like him in serious stuff.
Oh, he's terrific in serious movies.
No, I like him more. Give me
you
Ace
might
Ventura.
Like him in the fun role, but he can play
give me,
the serious,
by the way,
well acted role.
Give me Myself and Irene. That's a good
that was
movie.
A good one. Yeah,
that's
the
a
mask is
range.
The mask is a classic.
Mask
yeah,
is really
he's great.
Good.
He's phenomenal, but he can do everything. There's no role that he can't handle. No, I don't disagree with you. I'm just saying I don't prefer him in those kind of movies.
When he played Andy Kaufman, Man in the Moon, excellent.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's a bad movie. I'm saying my preference is him in comedies.
I understand what you're saying.
Give me Jim Carrey as Fire Marshal Bill. I'm good.
Let me tell you something.
Let me show you something. Say you'll light a match. I used to. In Living Color was one of my favorite shows.
Oh, it was a
great show. Yeah. It was a phenomenal
homie
show.
How funny is Homie the Clown? Tell me. I mean,
Homie don't play that.
Homie don't. Homie like, don't I can't even tell. That. Like the first time I saw that, I did the same. I made a sock like Homie the Clown. I used to slap the crap out of my brother. Yeah, my brother would ask me something. I'm like, Homie don't play that. And just whap him in the face with it.
Oh, man.
Dave was doing different things with socks back then.
I mean, leave me alone.
Wow.
Really? But wow. This is what he does. This is what he does. And it's going to make Game 7 tomorrow night all that more special. We talked about Lindor the other day, how he's just – there's so much excitement with this guy. Even last night, like, he's always in a good way, always in a good mood. He mentions last night on what the Mets can be long-term right now, which you have to be pretty optimistic about.
I'm not sure yet. I feel like there's still a lot of guys that are down. Pitching staff, see guys are down as well. But I'm extremely proud of the group of guys that we have, and I'm super happy that we have them back. They work very hard during their rehab assignment. It can be very lonely when you're hurt and you look back and you feel like you're not part of the team. So I'm happy to have them. And I don't think we are where we want to be yet. We're a good team, but we're not where we want to be yet. And that's going to come. I truly believe that's going to come. And I think it's going to, once we have more consistency and have all the pieces of the puzzle, it's going to be great to put it together.
Did you hear them talking about him on the broadcast last night, saying that he is such a phenomenal addition in the locker room? Like, forget about what he brings on the field, and he's a great defender, and he's starting to hit now, but what he brings to the locker room is really second to none.
Well, Dave, you're paying him all of that money, not just from the production from a player, but also for those intangibles. Like, that's why you give a guy $340 million. He's got to be the complete package, and that's why you made the move for him and being able to bring him over from Cleveland. So I would expect that Lindor would have a positive impact on your team in that way. The thing that surprises me, though, in listening to that clip and his commentary, with a player that's been struggling the way that he has offensively throughout the entirety of this season, like for him to not just focus on what he needs to be doing better, but to have the awareness of where the team is at, and try to strike the right tone in terms of being able to set the agenda for them moving forward, that's the part that's impressive. Because as a player, when you're struggling, like, I mean, it's hard to see beyond your own situation, but for a guy that's in it, to be able to see what's going on around them with his team and to know what they need to hear, like, I just feel like that's something that separates you. That's what makes you special.
There is something to be said about this, though, Chris, too, is that, I mean, I know everyone tries to be a leader or fancies themselves a leader, but I mean there are guys that are just born to be leaders that make the decision every day to be the same people. Like, I mean, it couldn't have got worse for Francisco Lindor. I mean, this is first time in his career, being booed at home,
yeah.
Right? Like under the crucible of New York City, and just not nearly the player we thought we were getting for $341 million. And every single day he showed up, smile on his face, playing great defense, rooting for his teammates, running hard to first. We criticize everybody for not running hard to first.
Always hustles.
Every single time.
Yep, Manny Machado,
hard to first.
All of them. Gary Sanchez, all of them.
And
he's the
emotional leader of this team is what he is. In every good team, and I think it's what the Yankees lack, is having that guy that shows up every day with that same kind of energy that brings everybody along for the ride with them. Every good team I've ever been on has at least one of those guys. Because it just changes everything, like even
but
practice.
But you can tell. Like he revels in that role. He takes it very seriously, and he's very good at it. And you can tell that.
Well, you saw it the other day, right? I mean, we pointed to them. I mean, they lost the game, but it's him. I mean,
what he did for Diaz when he's out in the field. Bases
loaded,
nobody out. Yep.
But then he gets out of it, and you see him. Like, you expect Diaz to be the one, fist pumping or whatever. No. It's Lindor at shortstop going crazy.
Yep. He's terrific. He's a terrific leader, and the Mets with a really good win last night. Day off, and then two tomorrow against Philadelphia, and then DeGrom on the mound on Saturday. All right, Rick, here we go. Little observation.
Rick DiPietro consumes more media than anyone on this planet.
Great point, Rick. It's another genius point by you.
And these are his knobservations.
We could have called it Rick's observations, but, it's Rick we're dealing with here.
Yeah, let's go testy and then knob.
Here's your host, Rick DiPietro.
All right, here we go, fellas. A little Thursday edition of Knobservations. I hope you guys can hear me. I hope we don't have any...
Did you say something?
See, I knew you were going to do that. I had maybe my best open in the history of opens.
Energy well, I don't know. There. Nobody heard it.
I know. That's great. Awesome. I think we should do the open again at 7.
That's fine. I don't. Can you emotionally handle another open?
I can emotionally handle whatever you throw at me.
All right.
Can you handle this? How about this one? And I know you've heard this before because the guy does it every year. So, you know, Mattress Mac in Houston?
Yes.
Always makes bets on Houston.
So he made a big bet.
Oh, yeah. So this could be the largest payout in sports betting history. He picked Houston. He bet on Houston to win the World Series. He bet $2 million. They win. He gets paid out $22 million.
Wow. Mm. Looks pretty good right now. They
Houston's red hot.
Red hot.
Red hot right now. So I know we talked about this and we were trying to guess. I still kind of would like to try to guess. The more I thought about it, Tom Brady was on the shop. They had the little teaser, and this is what he said.
One of the teams, and they weren't interested at the very end. I was thinking, you're sticking with that mother...
Have you guys given any thought to what that team could be?
No.
I have, but I haven't been able to pinpoint it.
I came up with... I know Colin Cowherd said the Bears.
Yeah.
I was thinking maybe the Titans.
No, but Tannehill's not bad.
Compared to Tom Brady?
Well, compared to Tom Brady, but they locked into a long-term deal with
him, it doesn't matter. It's like, why would you stick with him if you can have me? What about the Giants?
I thought it was going to be a team with a warmer climate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't see the Titans as a... Like I don't see you saying that about Tannehill. I don't
why
think
would he not say... Why would Tom Brady... I mean, there's probably only...
I get, but I don't two think other that quarterbacks Tannehill's that Tom an Brady... embarrassment. I think the Bears, the Giants make more sense than the Titans.
Because I never heard the Dolphins. I didn't hear him interested in the Dolphins. I don't know. It's interesting. He's like, this is a whole new Tom Brady since he left New England, though.
Yeah, he's kind of a free version.
Much more open.
Yeah, for free range version.
All right, here's another one. We talked about it. We didn't have the actual sound, so I wanted to play it for you guys today. So this was Shaq on TNT on what he would have done to Ben Simmons following that loss.
If I play game 1 and 2 and I know I'm not helping my team out, what you think I'm going to do in game 3? Don't take you 7 games to realize that. I don't want to hear that, man. I'm not going with that.
So what should he have said tonight?
I like what he said, but if you, like, you can't say, don't take 7 games for you to know you are not playing right. Get right. He's not getting double teamed. Get right. Be aggressive. That's all I want. Just be aggressive. I don't want to hear all that. Stop that. Cut it out.
The Atlanta Hawks knocking off the Philadelphia 76ers.
One is in my locker. I'm out of knock this out.
To 96.
Okay.
You do what?
I ain't laughing. What you mean, what?
He's in his locker room.
You do what?
I don't want to hear that, man. Get out of my face with that. Oh, I didn't.
I ain't mad. Yeah. I know he would. I've heard the stories.
Yeah, he felt that. Like, he felt that one right there. When Shaq said that, he meant that.
Listen, I don't think he's even lying. He's not lying. He would have done
that. No,
no. Here's the other thing, though. People think that's a bad thing. To have that kind of friction in your locker room sometimes is a good thing.
Well, whatever they have going on is not working in Philadelphia.
No, because I don't think that. I mean, I don't get the feeling that there's a close relationship between Embiid and Simmons at all.
No, I don't think Simmons has a close relationship with anybody.
And Embiid kind of threw him under the bus with some of the things that he said after that game. So, I mean, it's just, this is one of those, man, if Ben Simmons is not going to listen to the coach, if he's not going to listen to his teammates, if you're a guy that's in that locker room, you are well within your rights to have a confrontation.
Canty, I'm telling you right now, between me and you.
Ben Simmons, I would have taped him up and thrown him in the cold tub.
Yeah. Between me and you. Yeah. I've been taped to a chair and thrown in the snow before. That was awful. Ah. If it's Dave, myself, and you, DCR versus the K-Show basketball, you have an opportunity, like Ben Simmons, just underneath the basket, and you turn down a dunk on Peter Rosenberg to pass the ball to one of us.
That would never happen.
There's going to be some problems.
Yeah, that would never happen.
We're going to have serious issues.
We would have serious?
We can't have that. We need you
can't
to dominate.
Fight Canty.
Yeah, that's I'm not what I'm about to say. Yeah, it's different.
I'm not going to fight him. There'll be a lot of.
You go buy some kneecaps.
Yeah, like Dan I'll be Dan Campbell. I'll be biting kneecaps.
He'll
I don't know what Dave will be doing.
Very unflattering photos of
you
on the internet.
I'll make Dave take your temperature. Whatever it is.
Wow.
There will be words.
That is terrifying.
Yes, it is.
I am thermometer boy right now.
Speaking of punching people in the face, let's see what Washington Nationals GM Mike Rizzo had to say about the whole Joe Girardi, Max Scherzer situation.
Do you think Girardi was playing games there?
Of course he was. What are we, idiots? Of course he was.
I agree.
It's embarrassing.
Our partner, Eric
Bickle. Embarrassing for Girardi. It's embarrassing for the Phillies. It's embarrassing for baseball. Yes, he's playing games. And, hey, that's his right. Gamesmanship had nothing to do with substances. He had no probable cause to ask for it. The ump shouldn't have allowed it. But it happened, and you got to deal with it.
So, Mike, what do you think about Joe Girardi?
That was his goal. He's a con artist. He got you in the con, so you believe it, and that's the way it is. He's been doing that for years.
Wow. That's aggressive.
There is no walking that back. You called that man a con artist.
I like it. I like it.
My goodness.
Although what he did was really, it was awful the other day. There was no reason for that. The thing's a mockery already. Now you got to take it to another level.
Yeah, that was Bush League day, but still, you called the man a con.
No, right. I agree with you, Chris.
There's no coming back from that. Like, you are casting aspersions. You are questioning his character.
Spicy rivalry, though. Everything. Like it. Yeah, very nice.
I hate to toot my own clarinet here, but here I mean, I've woven this observations perfectly
without
together.
Pack of wool.
This is they're good for something. So here we go. Speaking of sticky situations and foreign substances on balls, let's listen to what Pedro Martinez had to say about it.
Guess what? It's my game, and I dictate how I want my balls to be rubbed up. And if you didn't do a good job at rubbing the balls the way I wanted them, and I didn't feel like I was comfortable, I was gonna do whatever.
That's so good.
That's Pedro Martinez.
That could have been Pedro Martinez. That could have been
Ron Jeremy.
That could have been Robert Kraft at a massage parlor. I mean, you name it.
All right.
And last nod before we get to DHIF, you're looking at him. Look right at the zoom. Look at him. This guy. Biggest knob you've ever seen in your entire life. Oh, you? Why are you a knob, Rick? I'll tell you why I'm a knob. We had our last baseball practice / little scrimmage yesterday for Milo and the kids. So we picked up munchkins. We had ice cream sandwiches. Kids had a blast. We had a little scrimmage. Everything was great.
Sounds
Took
lovely.
A team picture. All right, Milo, time to go. We got to get home for dinner. Put the stuff in the car. Close the back hatch.
You forgot Milo.
No, I forgot the keys in the bag that was in the back. Lock myself out of the car.
So now what happened?
So now I just sat in the parking lot for 30 minutes. I had to borrow someone's phone.
Yep.
And then Cassie somehow figured out, you know, how to do the whole OnStar situation. I mean, the feeling of locking your keys in the car is, it's the worst. What was I going to do?
I didn't do that anymore.
I didn't think so either. I said to myself, take the keys out of the bag. But because you can just open it without the keys in your hand, it opened. And then Milo was talking to me, so I just closed it, and then the keys were, like, in the bag sitting right next to the hatch, and for some reason, because they were in the car, it wouldn't open.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never heard of anything like that recently.
It was
so
the worst.
Good for you.
It's the lack of sleep catching up with him, Dave.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm on a very restrictive diet right now.
Honestly, it's life karma getting in the way right now.
It's a very restrictive diet. We'll get into that later. Very restrictive. All right, here we go. Give me DHIF.
A man's naked behavior outside of his South Florida home, all caught on camera.
Caught on camera in Florida.
Did it happen in Florida?
That was a man in swim trunks who appeared to fall out of the sky.
Man was arrested for riding his bicycle on the front lawn of a Naples home and telling a woman inside he was an FBI agent.
What's the deal, man? Why are you naked?
All right, here we go. Speaking of naked, did this happen in Florida? A man sets a new world record by completing 60 skydiving jumps in 24 hours while dressed in nothing but his safety equipment.
Just get naked.
He just got naked. He took the advice of Dave Rothenberg. He contacted the Guinness Book of World Records about setting the record for most naked skydiving jumps in 24 hours. They said if you do more than 25 jumps, at least 25 jumps in 24 hours, we will make a new record for you. Didn't stop at 25. Went all the way to 60, but naked. Did this happen in Florida?
Jumping out of a plane many times.
60.
Naked. I will say not Florida.
Not Florida.
I feel like this is a Midwest to Western kind of a story.
Wow.
Rico, yeah. I need clarification. Is it butt naked or buck naked? Which one is it?
I think both.
Both
yeah,
of them
work? Butt naked or buck naked.
What's the difference?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
I'll look that up.
Yeah, I'm curious.
You figured Dave would know it since every story has to be him naked.
Not every story, just the occasional.
He does get naked when it's
why wear pants?
I am going to say not Florida.
Not Florida. I can't ask Raymond because he sent me the story. I'll ask RJ. RJ, did this happen in Florida?
I don't know if they jump out of planes in Florida. I'm going to say not Florida.
God, man, you guys are the best. No, that was not Florida. That was Nebraska. A Nebraska man.
Can I
Nebraska.
Ask real quick, though?
Yes.
It's very specific, so he had to ask, oh, yeah, it has to be naked? Like, not just 60 skydiving attempts for 24 hours? Like, naked.
So, yeah, if he wants to break the actual clothed record, we'd have to do more. But the naked record, apparently, is now within reach.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left!
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.